This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake discuss the announcement of WWE 205 Live and the current state of the WWE Cruiserweight division. Want more great content from ProWrestling.net, including ad-free access to the site and exclusive audio shows like .NET Weekly with Jason Powell and Brian Fritz that will be recorded today? Sign up for ProWrestling.net membership. For $7.50 a month or $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, you could get instant access to the site right now. And now, enjoy the show. So, Jake, we choose to record today, my first show back in how long? Like over a month. And we already have major news that we get to talk about. WWE announced today that they are launching a Cruiserweight television show on the network. So network show, I guess. WWE 205 Live. It'll debut November 29th. What do you think of them giving the Cruiserweights a one-hour show that looks like it's going to be taped live after SmackDown every week?
You know, welcome back, first of all. But the interesting thing about it to me is that it seems like, you know, maybe they're going to keep them on Raw, you know, going forward. I don't know. I mean, maybe it'll just be its own thing, but I was excited at first, you know, when I first heard it, because I'm like, oh, maybe, well, they're moving them with the SmackDown crew. Maybe that means they won't be, you know, nearly as overproduced and they won't be stuck with the Raw creative team that clearly doesn't seem to get them. I mean, if you would have told me, you know, that the first feud coming out of, you know, the CWC tournament, which where it was all about, you know, the sport of competition and all that would be, you know, a feud where a heel basically begs the babyface to let him win because he's, you know, he's pathetic and he can't support his family, I would have laughed in your face. But that's what we got. So I'm hoping this is a positive turn creatively. And also it's interesting to me that it's just more, you know, this balkanization of wrestling fans where now you have to watch another show to watch Cruiserweights. You know, it's right. Just like, well, how many hours am I expected to really pay attention to? I'm sorry if you heard my cat scratching at the damn door in the background, but
because my dogs never bark in the background of podcasts, that's that would be unacceptable.
Yeah, but the that was the two things that jumped out at me. It's like, well, creatively it might be a plus, but it's like, oh man, another hour I got to slot in during the week for wrestling. I don't know if I could pull it off. Like, it's something else has got to give. I got to cross an hour off somewhere.
Yeah, I'm of two minds. And first I'll talk about what I've seen, because I didn't watch a ton of Raw. I think I watched one or two modern matches during the time I was gone, and then kicked in with like watching the Hell in a Cell main event and the 90-minute Raw and SmackDown this week. One thing I will say, the Cruiserweights look to have been used really terribly on Raw. Like, you just mentioned that main story. I haven't seen character development for the other guys. I haven't seen them really build a division. And in a way, it kind of seems like the way they messed up the women's division when they did the mass call-up from NXT and brought in Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha all at once and said, okay, it's better now, it's a revolution, look, we did it, yay, high fives for us. It seems like they did that with the Cruiserweights, and I feel like this may be them realizing sooner rather than later that that was a problem, so we are going to find a way to fix it. And I think a good way to fix it is to put them in their own box. Now, my problem with this, it's being taped after SmackDown. Now you're asking, you're going to, you know, the third hour of Raw crowd? That's how the SmackDown crowd's going to be. Plus, you're talking about fans who, okay, well, I've seen John Cena and I've seen AJ Styles. I saw Dean Ambrose. I'm good to go. Saw James Ellsworth, the real face of SmackDown. I'm fine. I'm out of here. See ya. And you're going to have people walking out on the Cruiserweight show, which is going to be disappointing. I also kind of worry about the overall atmosphere. I thought the CWC did a really good job of capturing a fun atmosphere for the Cruiserweights, but that was a small room, and it was a lot of workers who were used to working a small room. Putting a lot of these guys out there in arenas, I think, could be dangerous. I think it could be really really detrimental to them and harmful for their confidence as workers in general. But overall, I like this. For the reasons you stated, they get to tell their stories. They get to actually take the time to tell stories here, and it is so, so important to do it. And Rodgers isn't giving him that space. It's not giving him that character development. And we're going to talk tomorrow about how Rodgers doesn't give anyone room to tell a good story. But I think this could be really, really fun for the cruiserweights. I do agree with you that it could be too much content. But let's talk about like the good and then get into the content side of things, because I have opinions there. Shocker, I know.
Well, there is some good. I guess I was confused by the way that the press release was worded. I don't know if the show is being taped after SmackDown or if it's being taped before and then aired right after SmackDown. Like, I'm not sure how that's exactly going to
be smart.
Because if they do the hour before, then you know it feels like a Raw taping, and you can save your big names for that last hour and still hopefully have the crowd with you. But if they give them a fresh crowd, I think it would be a much more lively show. And I hope that is the plan, because it seems like it's just taking Talking Smack's time slot. And I would assume they'd want some time to edit before they go on the network to put in transitions.
The word live is in the title, though.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I know, you know, live to tape is a thing, and you know, if it's within a couple hours, maybe nobody would notice. But I don't know. It just seems so. I wouldn't think you'd want to go, oh, let's give them, you know, the third hour of a taping with a live crowd. It seems like it would just be a recipe for disaster. But I think on the good side, I mean, it can't be any worse than what they've been doing with them on Raw. I mean, it, from a creative standpoint, it can only be an upswing, because it would mean them working with the SmackDown writing team, I would think, if they're going to be taping on Tuesdays. And they've been much better about extracting better television out of a lesser roster than what is on Raw. So I think that part is extremely positive. And if they get more time to tell stories with people other than whoever is in the main feud over the Cruiserweight Championship, I think it's great, because we're just starting to see, you know, Lince Dorado, and we will probably get Gran Metalik, and we'll get some of these other guys, you know, on top of having, you know, Cedric and TJP and Kendrick and the rest of the crew. So I think it could work out for them, you know, in the long run. But it'll be interesting to see if they give them much beyond, you know, a standard television season worth of episodes before they start to reevaluate things.
Yeah, I would love to see them start to give these guys characters. Just basically start it the way they started so much of the Cruiserweight Classic, which was, here are some video packages about who these guys are. This is what they stand for. And then go that extra step that the Cruiserweight Classic purposefully avoided and say, I want to make X guy a heel. Okay, well, he's going to cheat. And then in an interview, he's going to get asked about cheating and either claim to have not cheated or, you know, say cheating's okay because X, or he did what he had to do. There are so many things you can do. I also would say, as we talk about the Cruiserweight division, I think TJ Perkins was a completely wrong choice to head up that division. I understand why WWE felt that they had to go with him, but you had Rich Swann sitting there that could have gotten deeper into the tournament. You could have structured the bracket differently for Cedric Alexander to go into that. There are multiple wrestlers who would have been much, much better at that end of the tournament spot. Even a Johnny Gargano would have been better in that final four. I say even, like Johnny Gargano's not great. Johnny Gargano is great. But Johnny Gargano would have been better in that final four and filled a lot of the same role that TJ Perkins eventually filled on Raw, which is kind of the white meat baby face of that division. I don't think TJ's been particularly compelling at all. I watch him make his entrance, which is a great entrance, by the way. But I watch him make his entrance and feel like he just doesn't connect. Like, there is a wall between him and the crowd.
Yeah, I would agree. I think his promos have been pretty wooden. He joined in on commentary last week prior.
Oh, I'll bet that was just dynamic.
Yeah, it was bad. And I feel, you know, bad for him because the writing hasn't been great. But, I mean, it's not like he's, you know, shown something that would indicate that if he had better writing, it would be 1,000% better. You know, the charisma just hasn't been there. I think they seem to be turning a corner on recognizing what they have in Rich Swann, and he seems to be somebody who has built an immediate connection, and they have a decent heel, you know, in Kendrick, if he embraces the role and sort of reverts back to what I think he did really well as, you know, the Brian Kendrick prior to his WWE release. So there's a lot to, you know, like about the direction of the Cruiserweight division. I think, you know, they probably went with TJ because he was just available, you know, right away after the CWC was over to be on television. Like they wanted Ibushi, they wanted Grand Metalik, they wanted some of these guys, but they, you know, either they had other commitments or in Ibushi's case, he wasn't ready to sign full time. And so I think they just had to make do with who they thought would be, you know, great on television right away. And Perkins, to his credit, you know, did have a lot of television work in the past. So there's, you know, there's something to be said about them just being painted into a corner, but I don't think they did anybody any favors with how it's been booked on television. They just haven't made anybody feel special at all.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the main things is they put them out there in random tags. They maybe have a one-on-one match occasionally, too. I get what they're trying to do with the Cruiserweight division and making it feel different, but when Raw doesn't really talk about divisions all that often anyways, when you don't have, say, the same thing for the heavyweight division and the women's division and the tag division and the cruiserweight division, where all are treated as different special entities, the cruiserweight division just feels like an addendum. It just feels kind of tacked on. And I would say that's a part where making the show look different, which they go through great pains to do, to turn the ropes purple and everything, I believe that actually hurts because it says, oh, this is a different show. Oh, this is a division. It doesn't matter. This is never going to affect the guys I like. And that's damaging, especially at the very beginning.
It's the obsession with branding. Everything has to be a brand. You know, and Stephanie McMahon is probably the root of some of that, being that it's in her title. But it seems like, you know, whether it's the women or you know, whether it's the cruiserweights, everything has to be, you know, sort of walled off in its own little garden. And I'm not sure that it's good for the flow of the show, and I'm not sure it really helps anybody creatively, because you're right, it does create artificial barriers that tell people to kind of stop paying attention at times.
So you mentioned this adding to the overabundance of content that WWE produces. Now you're talking about three hours, 15 minutes on Monday night. Now 3 hours of just wrestling content, not even talking about Talking Smack on Tuesday nights. Another hour on Wednesdays now with just NXT on Wednesday nights. Plus, on weekends, I mean, Survivor Series weekend is coming up soon. We're going to have a 2.5 hour NXT takeover, and then a night later, what will likely be a 4 hour Survivor Series show. Oh my gosh. Like, it is a lot of stuff. My thought, looking at all of that, was, yeah, it's time. WWE is basically telling fans, you pick what you want. You don't have to watch everything now. And I feel like this is almost like the straw that breaks the camel's back there, where I, like, personally, I do not feel compelled to watch Raw every week. I don't know if I will. I might pick and choose weeks to watch Raw and weeks to watch SmackDown and write about whatever. But that's, like, I don't think WWE can really expect people to be that obsessed now, especially given that WWE itself mocks their fans who are too obsessed with wrestling.
I think they're trying to hit, you know, all of these different audiences that they feel that they've built. I mean, NXT and the Cruiserweight Classic sort of appeal to a different set of WWE fans than the main roster television shows do. And I think they feel that when they, you know, they send out the Cruiserweights to these kind of muted reactions on Raw, and they feel that when, you know, some of these NXT call-ups come in, and it's, you know, it's just not the same. And you can blame that on creative, but, you know, they're not exactly put in positions to succeed all the time. But, you know, the names just don't, it's not like somebody jumping from, you know, WCW to WWE in the late 90s or something, where it's just like, oh man, this is an immediate name recognition grabbing, you know, attention grabbing moment. It's just not the same. And so, you know, they're sort of realizing that, well, You know, maybe some of these guys are better off staying in NXT, and maybe some of these guys are, you know, maybe we should create a separate cruiserweight show and let it have its audience and let it be, you know, its own thing and, you know, let it have its own stories. And I think that's okay. I mean, it's funny to me, and I, you know, kind of tweeted about this earlier today a little bit, but, you know, Vince McMahon has spent, you know, his entire life and his entire fortune on creating, you know, a single wrestling company that is supposed to be, you know, the be all and end all of what the sport can be. And now he's, you know, put himself in a position, and, you know, with the changing television landscape and pay-per-view sort of dying, and you know, he's in a position now where he has to break up his company into chunks and sell it to you a la carte, because, you know, nobody wants to digest it in, you know, in the way that they once did. And so, yeah, you know, I think the Cruiserweight Classic and, you know, taught them something about maybe we can have just network exclusive shows, and maybe it can be a success. And, you know, does it peak subscribers? I don't know. That remains to be seen. But I think once you get, you know, enough content on the network happening on a regular basis, maybe people just feel comfortable peeling away from television entirely. I'm certain there's a younger part of the WWE audience that probably would get their fill just watching network specials and 205 Live and NXT.
That it's funny because pay-per-views used to be like for the most committed fans. Like, I remember as a kid, the first time I got to order a WWE pay-per-view, and I didn't have to wait for my brother to come in with the next morning with a VHS tape he got from his buddy that had a black box, like being like, oh wow, I get to watch it live. This is amazing. And my parent, you know, having to like beg and plead with my parents, spend the $30, please. Now I think, wow, you like pay-per-views are the cheapest part of being a WWE fan. They went from being the luxury product that they were selling to being like the easy, okay, $10. And I know I'm not saying $10 is like a small amount of money, but $10, even compared to the 30, 40, 50, 60 we've seen charged for pay-per-views over our years as fans, $10 is easy to part with on a monthly basis, especially given you get two major shows almost every month. Like, you get 2 3-hour spectaculars or 4-hour spectaculars almost every month. Yeah, sure, I will happily drop my $10 on that. Plus you get NXT, plus you get this 205 show, plus you get so that archive of content. WWE in a way has made their cable show the luxury product and their pay-per-views the kind of base product, but the pay-per-views are the pay-per-views are still as good as pay-per-views were. They're still really good, and the TV show is garbage at some points. It's a funny shift in the way wrestling is consumed, and I think, like I said, I think this 205 Live show can be almost a straw that breaks the camel's back for some people, where they go, okay, I'm gonna watch a couple segments of Raw, most of SmackDown, and then all of the pay-per-views, and that's all I'm going to watch, and 205 Live, or and NXT and 205 Live, or something like that.
Yeah, you know, I think WWE has gotten a lot better as a wrestling company at wrestling. Like, there are a lot of very talented wrestlers in WWE that can go out there and put on 20, 30-minute matches if they're asked to. And creatively, they've become almost flavorless. Like, there's just nothing to a lot of these stories. Like, they spent an entire month, you know, selling you Hell in a Cell and the best story they could come up with for Sasha Banks and Charlotte is that, you know, well, this is just really historic. Like, we're going to pat ourselves on the back because look at how progressive we are for putting these two women in this horribly damaging structure. Like, there was no personal beef. There was no, you know, they had a 3 or 4 month long feud, and they made the culmination of that entire feud, the first ever women's Hell in a Cell match, not about, you know, some personal drama that they would finally settle in a bloody cage match, but it was, this is just really cool that women are going in a cage match. Like, I thought it was just silly, and it makes, I think it's just the corporatization of the product. Like, it's just become something that they're just constantly trying to sell you on.
Don't
you
know, skip how, too like, much I'm, to tomorrow's show about how bad Raw is.
Well, I'm just it is related to this.
Because yeah. It totally is.
You're looking at something and you're like, you know, I why am I watching 12 hours of this a month? And why I can just pay $10 and get the best content they have to offer and spend, you know, six, maybe 12 hours a month watching that because it's the best network specials. It's, you know, perhaps, 205 Live becomes a phenomenon. We really don't know yet. You know, the NXT show. I mean, you can see the best of WWE on the network in general. Yeah.
You get your fill of big stars. Like, yeah.
And cable subscriptions are, I mean,
like to get, $50.
To get USA, I mean, you're probably looking at least $40 a month or something. I mean, it's insane. I mean, it's not a very good value proposition. And you can say, well, WWE kind of set the price on their own product at $10, but now they just have to live with it.
Yeah. And I think that's. Yeah, that's a big thing, the network and WWE's insistence. And I'm not going to complain about the insistence on adding content to the network, but their insistence on doing it so much and not just the silly content like Ride Along that I will never touch with a 10-foot pole, but the actual meaningful content like the CWC. It's like, oh, hey, you're right. I don't need to watch Raw. I can get my fill here. And I think more and more as wrestling fans, we're going to see kind of the fracturing of wrestling in general because of that. We're going to see, okay, well, not as many people are going to watch Raw because Raw's ratings are dropping. The NFL's ratings are dropping. Cable ratings are dropping. It's all intertwined there. But you're going to see, okay, well, I'm not going to watch Raw every week because it's 3 hours and it wastes my time. I might catch some of SmackDown. I might catch, you know, and people are going to pick and choose or wait until they hear from someone like Jason, who does have to watch everything because it's his job. They're going to wait until they hear from him what they should be watching. And then they're going to go back and watch it because they're not going to mind not knowing things. But they'll be there for the Rumble and WrestleMania and, you know, the SummerSlams, like the big shows they're going to be there for. They're not going to be there live for every Monday night show or maybe even every pay-per-view.
Yeah, certainly not. I see this becoming more of a trend as time goes on. And maybe WWE is being somewhat smart about, you know, the way that they have put this together where, you know, if their TV show, you know, I think they come up on a renewal for, you know, their TV contracts in the next 2 years. I think it's either early 2018, I think, is when it comes up. And you know, they may not get a great offer anymore. You know, the ESPN, I think, lost like something like 600,000 subscribers last month. It was the worst month in the company's history. And they're on some of the same cable packages as USA. And so it's amazing to me to think like, well, what is another 2 years going to look like if ESPN, like the stalwart cable network that's been around since the beginning of the cable expansion, you know, if they're hemorrhaging subscribers and ratings are still collapsing all over the cable landscape, you know, is WWE going to be in a position where, well, we're raising the price of the network to $15 a month and we're just going to put Raw and SmackDown on that thing and try to sell everybody on buying that because it, or, you know, maybe putting it on the network as well as airing it on live TV because they can't get the same revenue from television contracts. I think it's going to be something they have to consider as this whole cable transition takes place.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting time. I'm excited to see this 205 show. I want to see some of these guys get opportunities to do more than what they've gotten to do on Raw. I think this is a better place to launch new cruiserweights. I would say my only concern now, are these guys still going to be on Raw? Are we going to have this hampered by the Raw creative team on a weekly basis where they'll do great things on Tuesday night, but then we get to Monday and, oh yeah, this guy got beat in 1 minute because of this. And then they have to try and work around that on Tuesday. Like, are we going to see bad things like that? And I hope that's not the case. But yeah, I'm optimistic about this show. I will likely watch it, at least at first, and see what it's like. See if I want to make it part of my regular wrestling diet.
People are going to like the announced team. I mean, it's Moro and Corey Graves.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think it'll have a much different feel to it than Raw or SmackDown do on the announced teams. You know, having JBL and David Otunga on Tuesdays has been a drag for Morrow. I think he was much better with Lawler. And I think they're still having a difficult time getting chemistry between Corey and Michael Cole and Byron Saxton. It's been pretty brutal. I think
Byron Saxton is just brutal. Like, at this point, they've made it such a joke of him and his character. That's for the Raw show. Sorry, I'm doing it too. I'm out of form. That's the problem here.
Yeah, we'll get there. But I mean, I think you're going to see a much more pop culture relevant commentary team on 205 Live, and I think the show is going to need it. I mean, it's going to have a much more modern feel to it. I have confidence that they'll, you know, at least make it feel like a show that, you know, the people who are in tune with modern indie wrestling are probably going to feel right at home watching it.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a really, really fun and dynamic show to watch. So I hope I'm right. It would suck to be wrong. I don't like being wrong. But that'll wrap it up for us today, Jake. It's good to be back. Tomorrow you will catch me up on what I missed on Raw, and we can complain about it. It'll be great.
Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!